My name's Anita and I'm an addict.
Hey, Anita.
And I'm very honored to be asked to do a workshop here at Nagana, number 18. Wow. And when we first were broached with this topic of carry the message, not the addict, I was like, oh, well, that's easy. Then the more I thought about it, the more I talked to my higher power about it, I was kind of like, that's very broad. That means a lot of different things. It could mean spiritually, it could mean financially, it could mean physically. So what is our message? Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Simple, right? So how do we carry that message? How do we carry it? How do we live that? Do we live that? And I started thinking about when I very first got clean and how I had nothing when I came in the doors. I had nothing. I had a couple of Walmart bags with some clothes because, you know, when you come out of when I came out of boot camp, I even wore the plastic shoes out because I don't know where my clothes were. They got lost, and I probably couldn't fit into them anyway because I had put on a little bit of weight because I wasn't using anymore. But I remember how I had nothing. And I remember I got a job, and I started going to work, and I started paying my bills, for my treatment. We had rent that we had to pay, which included our food, and we had an allowance to pay when I was in treatment. And so it was a little bit easier there because it was very structured, but I was thinking about with my sponsor, my very first sponsor, I didn't have a license, I didn't have a car. So because I had the desire to get recovery and because I had a desire to go to meetings regularly and to have one-on-one time with my sponsor, she would pick me up and take me places with her. She would take me to meetings. She would take me to a restaurant and we'd do step work. She would take me to her house and we would do step work. And that really meant a lot to me. That was a living example of what sharing the message was to me when I first got clean. Now, she didn't pay my rent. She might have bought me meals or two. She might have bought me some coffee, you know. But she did not pay my rent. She did not buy my groceries. She did not make my financial amends for me. I had to take care of that myself. But because I watched her being responsible with her finances, it helped me become responsible with my finances. And, you know, lo and behold, when I wasn't spending money on dope or other stuff, I had a little money to pay my rent with or to pay my bills, pay my probation. So that's a financial way of not carrying. But my sponsor taught me that. And when I got started sponsoring people, I had to remember that I couldn't want their recovery for them more than they wanted it for themselves. And remember, I said that I had a desire to get clean and stay clean. So I had a desire to do whatever it was my sponsor asked me to do. If I had not had that desire, she probably would not have gone out of her way to help me like she did. And just giving me a ride. But that was huge to me. So I had to keep in mind when I started sponsoring women that I couldn't force recovery on them. I couldn't like shove it down their throat. I couldn't make them want it. That they had to have that desire for themselves. And all I did was share my experience, strength, and hope in saying, hey, I stopped using. I found a new way to live. And I do not have the desire to use anymore. But I feel like I had to live that to show them that. And I remember, too, I had a couple of sponsees very, very early on. One of them especially just could not stay clean. She just was a chronic relapser. And, you know, I would get so invested, you know, emotionally with her. And it hurt. Every time she went back out, it hurt. It hurt. And I never knew when I might get that phone call, oh, we found her. You know, she's OD'd. And that's hard. But I had to I couldn't stop loving her, and I couldn't stop being there for her, but I had to sort of step back a little bit and say, you know, obviously something we're doing is not working for you. So why don't you find another sponsor? But know that I will always be in your life if you want me to be. But obviously what we're doing is not working because you can't stay clean. You know, I know that sounds kind of harsh, but I had to protect myself because I was getting hurt. You know, and then there were other sponsees where I would go above and beyond and just try to be there for them and do whatever I could for them. And, you know, I remember one in particular. And I'm not trying to talk about my sponsee's stories, but I'm talking about how our relationship affected me when things went sour or when things went south. I had another sponsee that was kind of living two lives. You know, she lived one life around me and then another life somewhere else. And you know, you just can't save your face and your ass at the same time. Eventually, it's going to come out that you're using or that you're living a lifestyle that's going to cause you to start using again because you're feeling shame and guilt. And I kind of watched her go through this stuff. And I remember there was an incident that happened, and my sponsor suggested we got to protect her at all costs. We got to protect her from her. And I was like, no, I'm going to call her on this stuff because this behavior will lead her down the road to using again. And you know, my sponsor and I agreed to disagree. But she was all about, we'll lie for her. We'll go, you know, like road dogs, we're going to go to the end with this lie. No, we are not. That is not what recovery is about today. Recovery is about living differently and being honest in all of our affairs, even as difficult as it is. And you know, eventually that sponsee and I parted ways because she was using. And she eventually got honest about it, but she decided she wanted to keep using. And that was her choice. But I can't, you know, another portion of this would be, I can't carry guilt about things or choices that my sponsees make. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. Share with them what I have learned, what I have seen, what I have experienced, and hope that they might want to follow. And if they don't, that's okay too. I don't force my sponsees today. Like, you got to finish this step by this date. Well, actually, some of them I do. I have given some of them a deadline because some of them just sitting on them too long. And you can see when a step's working somebody. I can see when a step's working me, and I need to actually get pen to paper. And, you know, each one is different. Each addict is different. We all have different needs. We all have different, just like with your children. You have different ways that you treat your children because they have different needs. And I will say this, I have a brother who is one of us, and he and I both were in treatment in 2002. Both of us had the opportunity to stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And he did not choose to find a new way to live. He went out and continued in that lifestyle. And this is part of that not carrying the addict. I love my brother with all my heart, but I can't stand him. And you know, he asks for money. I don't give him any money because I'm not supporting whatever it is he's, you know, he's got a job. I don't know what he's doing with his money. I'm not going to support him financially. Just like I learned from my parents when they stopped supporting me financially is when I hit a bottom and when I said, God, help me. I need a new way to live. I want to stop, but I don't know how. And I think there's a difference between helping and enabling. My responsibility as a member of Narcotics Anonymous is to carry the message and to share how I stopped using and how I found a new way to live. I didn't do it by myself. I had a number of sponsors and sponsees that have taught me along the way. And a lot of people in this room that have taught me. Like I said, this is kind of a tough subject because I always go to money because to me it's, you know, I'm not caring. Just like when you're out there using, I'm not paying for your dope, you get your own dope. Same thing in recovery. I can't recover it for you, get your own recovery. You know, and if what you're doing is not working, if your relationship with your sponsor is not working, get a new one. We won't take it personal, I swear. Might for a minute, but In the long run, what matters is your desire to stay clean, and you're finding the right person to help you do that. I think that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
My name's David. I'm
Dave. Hey, David.
You know, first we need to know what the definition of an addict is. And an addict's a thief, a liar, a manipulator, a con artist, and probably some of the smartest people we know. So when you put that in there, and you go, okay, the message and the addict. So the message is that, just like she said, any of us can get clean and stay clean if we practice the principles of this program. If we practice the principles of this program. That's a big step. You know, for me it was a big step because, you know, when I got here, I didn't know how. All I know, I'd tell you a lie before I tell you the truth. So, you know, it is a hard subject to talk about because it's a fine line. You know, they gave me an advantage, you know, or they gave me a little benefit of the doubt when I got here. You know, they let me lie to them a little bit, and they knew I was lying to them, and they let me keep coming back, you know. But after a while, you have to say, well, wait a minute, let's hold on here. Let's separate it all, you know. And you know, I can't put a thing on how many times people need to realize. You know, it is what it is for whoever it is. You know, and no matter how hard it is, somebody's got to hit a bottom. You know, and when they finally hit that bottom, me or somebody else, or, you know, I hope I'm there to pick them up, dust them off, and say, come on, this is a new way. You can try this. And that's recovery. Now, you know, me continually going by and giving them $20 and taking them here and taking them there or doing whatever, that's not recovery. That's the addict. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. I mean, you know, my biggest thing, there's two things. And one is my son, I have not talked to him in 6 years. He was born in recovery. Born in this program clean. Never saw me use. Saw his mom, not her, but my first wife. Saw her use, but never saw me use. Called me 6 years ago, Memorial Day. And I've never heard anybody talk to anybody that way, much less their father. And he left me a voicemail, because I finally hung up on him. He left me a voicemail, and he hadn't called me back since. He's living in Mexico, and he still uses it. But you know, that's the addict. And today, I don't have to, you know, I love him to death, and he's my son. And you know, he's my spitting image. He's a mini me. But I don't have to put up with it. I don't have to carry that addict, you know. I value my recovery more than I do that. And I pray for him every day. But, you know, it is what it is. He's there. And he knows it. And he still hadn't called me. You know, the other thing is I'm a labor manager. And I got 85 people that work for me. And you know, I have to go to HR and I have to fight for people. Because we do background checks. And people getting out of prison and people... And you know, I sit down with people and I look you square in the eye and I say, okay, I know where you come from, I know what you've done. Don't lie to me. Be honest. I'm gonna drug screen you, but I'm gonna give you a chance. And I'm batting 500 right now. I'm batting 50%. But the thing is I go in there and that lady goes, did you see his background check? I said, it's like Sears and Roebuck catalog, you know? And I said, whoa, wait a minute. But it's 2011, 2012. I said, he's been in prison. He's been in prison for a little while. He's just now getting out. Let's give him a chance. You know, somebody gave me a chance, and I give him a chance. And, you know, I've got three or four of them that's good guys. They change their life. They're working hard, you know. But somebody's got to give them a chance, you know. But then again, I've had some that came in as soon as they got two checks. Boy, they was stealing my tools and driving my truck all over God's green earth and, you know, lying to me about time. And, you know, I have to go to them and I say, okay, whoa, this is it. You're done. See you. Bye. You know, and it's hard because I know I've been there and I've been in that position. And that's not That's not the message. The message is that you got to stay clean. You got to change everything. Everything. We can't hold on to, well, I'm gonna go to the pool hall, or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to go do that. You know, we can't do that, you know. We got to change everything, because all it takes is just a little bit, and we'll be right back where we are. You know, for me, you know, I can get dishonest with myself, and I can tell myself it's okay for me to do this. Nowadays, I'm borderline diabetic, and I don't need to be eating a lot of sugar. But I can tell myself, well, just that one brownie or just that one cookie, and before you know it, I've ate the whole box. You know, and it's not any different. You know, it's dope. For me, today, it's dope. You know, so when I get around people, I have to try to share my experience, strength, and hope, and be honest about what I struggle with today. Today. Those are things, this is honest stuff that I struggle with today, because I feel like I can relate when you share in a meeting or somebody else shares in a meeting about what they struggle with. When you hold all that in, you're hiding. And that's an addict behavior that we used to do when we were in an active addiction. You know, we didn't want to tell anybody, you know, we're hiding it. You know, we didn't give the person at the halfway house the honest truth about where I was all day. I skipped work, or, you know, or maybe I didn't go to the meeting, or I got in the back of the meeting and talked so loud I couldn't. I got to meet another Sunday, and they talked in the back of me, and just, and I couldn't hear anybody share, and I got so mad, and I know they're not going to be there. They're not going to be there. They're going to be gone, and that's the addict, you know. But they can come back, and when they come back, I got to bring them in. I can't be resentful, you know, no matter how many times. You know, I'm not going to take abuse, but I'm going to stay there for you, and I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to help you. Because somebody was there for me every time, and they helped me. You know, and like now, you know, when people's family members die, when people get divorces, when people, all this stuff, we're there. And we help that person so they don't have to use, you know. We comfort them. We help them. We give them solutions, you know. The biggest thing for me is you know, the literature says that we become a productive member of society. Productive member of society is that we're honest. We hold our head up. We go to work. We come home. We pay our bills. If we borrow money, we pay it back. You know, all the stuff that we used to not do. You know, we're no different than the normal person that's not an addict. We're just an addict. We've got a behavior that will click on us just like that. And for me, I have to remember that I can't let that cut it off. Because, you know, it's like an old guy used to tell, he'd say, I'm a brick mason and I'm building that wall. Because he said, I'll either build that wall so you can't get to me, or I'll build that wall so I can't get to you. Now, which one it is on any given day depends. You know, because some days I don't want you to know what I'm thinking, or know when I need to let y'all know what I'm thinking, because it's crazy as crap and I don't need to be there. Or on the other side, I don't really want to be in your mess, but maybe you need me in your mess. Maybe you need me to sit there and when you tell me, say, laugh at you and say, yeah, I've done that before. Don't work too good, does it? You know? And hug you and say, it's going to be all right. This is what we're going to do, and work through it. You know? And for me, that's caring to message and not caring to add. I can sit here and I can pat you on the back. You know, it's just like this. You know, you can ask some of my sponsees. I don't call them all the time. I let them. It's their responsibility as a sponsee to call me. You know, I'll call after a couple of weeks and say, your phone work? and check on them. Or I'll go to their home group and I'll check on them at their home group. You know, as far as checking to make sure you're going to meet regular, you know, that's part of your recovery. You know, you got to get yourself up. You got to get yourself to a meeting on a regular basis, you know. Because, I mean, we can help you till you get on your feet. But at some point, you got to get up and you got to do it yourself, because this program is about us. And the we part of it is we help you till you get going, and then you need to start helping other people. And we work together, and we share our spirit, strength, and hope, just like the pyramid. Just like the pyramid. Goes up like that. Wider at the bottom. That means more people to help each other, you know. Sometimes I get more out of a newcomer than I do out of anybody else, you know. And I sit and I say, you know, people say, oh, all these people with all this clean time. And I'm like a football player. I can go down a dirt road with no wheels and go just like that. My mind will take me to where it don't need to go. I'm ready to quit my job. Ask her, I'm welfare. I'm ready to quit my job of 20 years. Go to doing whatever. You know, I'm done. I'm tired. And, you know, it's just where I'm at, you know. My dad's dying. Somebody stole my wallet out of my truck yesterday. And I'm busy at work. And I'm ready to quit work, you know. And but that's life on life terms. And I need to be able to share that with people. And I need to be able to let it out, you know, because it's simple stuff, you know. I went this morning at 8 o'clock, got to the DMV, got my driver's license. You know what the dude said? He said, you got a raw deal. I'm not even going to charge you for your new license. I had to fill out because, you know, they don't do that. And canceled all my credit cards, did all that stuff, you know. And it's okay. It's okay. Went and bought me a new wallet. You know, it's okay. But, you know, that's where I have to rely on people in recovery to tell me, you know, that sucks, but it's okay. You don't have to use over. You know, and I call on my network, and I let them know where I'm at, and I work with that. If I don't keep up with my network, then the addict, the part that I don't need to be carrying, comes right back out. And, you know, it's a tough subject, and I'm ready to open the floor up and let y'all share about some of it, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.